The Strategic Hotbox with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Dr. Brandi Stankovic, and we're here today to talk about burnout and avoiding burnout and potentially avoiding burnout with decision making and implementing some new skills into our, you know, and into our pocket, into our toolbox as leaders. And we've got a very special guest named Michael Veltri that'll be joining us here in just a second. Let's get started. As you know, on the Hot Box, we learn, we love, and we kick ass. And I have had opportunities to implement this lately so many different times and making sure that I'm living the philosophy of learning and loving and choosing love and share and kicking ass and getting out there and sharing information. And I urge all of you to do the same. And that's how every one of our podcasts are set up. So if you are listening and joining us today for the very first time, welcome to the Strategic Hotbox family. You're welcome as a homie of the Hotbox. And if this is one of your, or maybe your 60th plus episode that you've listened to, thank you. Yay. Thank you for being a part of our journey along the way. So I want to avoid burnout with you. Let's not get you burnt out on the Hotbox. Let's keep it new and exciting. And let's keep you not burnt out in the things that you're doing from day to day. And I don't know about you, but there's definitely been moments in my life where I have felt that, like after a long week or after a really hard day or one of those meetings, whether it's performance related or working with a particular client or anything like that. And as leaders, we often can feel that way, can feel overwhelmed. And I mean, honestly, that's where that cliche TGIF came from, right? I mean, why else would you be happy that it's Friday if you weren't, you know, kind of over your work week? And I think that what we have to do as leaders is be able to move past that. So you might feel a little overwhelmed by a day or just done with a day, but not making it have an impact or a long-term effect. An estimated $125 to $190 billion in healthcare are spent each year due to occupational burnout. Can you believe that? Those are a lot of dollars that are spent on burnout. And the most at-risk kind of demographic for burnout in the employee segment are your high-performing, are your highly engaged leaders. And it's just their level of dedication, their push for success, and meeting goals really can come to taking things a little too far. And in this world of never really having an off moment, we sometimes can be a little too engaged. Now, there are steps that different individuals might take to fight burnout, like exercise or fighting stress, maybe doing some self-assessments or getting the support of a network of people or a mentor. And of course, making sure that we're dedicated to self-care or taking care of you, number one, putting your oxygen mask on first. And maybe the solution has to do with decision-making. After all, I'm sure you've heard of the stories of Steve Jobs or Facebook, the Facebook CEO, why his name? Mark Zuckerberg. How in the world am I forgetting this huge icon? And all my teammates here can help me out with that. But yeah, Steve Jobs or Mark Zuckerberg wearing the same thing every day. So Mark in the case of a gray t-shirt or Steve Jobs in the black shirt jeans, to just eliminate that as a decision that they have to make during the day, to have all of their decision-making focus be on what's important. And the average adult really does make thousands of decisions every single day. I make at least 100 decisions, just sometimes getting dressed. Let's be honest. For any girls that are out there, maybe and gentlemen too, that are can relate to that. But managing your brand or creating influence or knowing some of these decisions, it's your integrity or your kind of your ethical boundaries. Sometimes knowing those ethical boundaries can help in decision making. Whatever it is, having a thought out rationale for why you make certain decisions can make those decisions easier. And making decisions easier could also impact our burnout. And somebody that's here that's going to kind of explain this or is a subject matter expert in this area is Michael Veltri. He is an expert. I'm just going to put that out there as an expert in decision making and how decision making can create peak performance. And he has shared his insight with organizations like IBM and AT&T, Hyatt, the Discovery Channel. And he's here to chat with us about his experience and to share a little insight on what we can start doing, what I could start doing. I definitely can use a little of this today to really start pushing forward. So I'd like to formally introduce Michael. Now, Michael Veltri is a C-suite executive and battle-hardened even, and he's a successful entrepreneur. He is a best-selling author. He's a resilient cancer survivor. He's also a decorated Marine Corps veteran and a professional martial arts instructor. So he doesn't mess around. He's not messing around. Help me welcome Michael. Hello, how are you?
Hi, Brandy. Nice to be on. Thanks for having me.
And tell us a little bit about your journey and what brought you here today.
Sure. So as you said there, I started my leadership journey when I enlisted. I made a big decision at the age of 17 to join the Marine Corps. And from there, it was a fascinating journey from the military to Japan to corporate America and being an entrepreneur and surviving cancer, which played a real important part in my progression and growth as owning my leadership development company that I do now. So started with the military, transitioned into corporate America, then running my own businesses, and along the way dealt with the ramifications of a real big health scare.
Yeah, no doubt. And thank you for your service.
Thank you for your
service to the United States and for those that are in other countries. We know what it takes, the dedication it takes to be there. And being in leadership in the Marines and being in leadership in corporate America and even in your home or family or personal, you're dealing with all sorts of different types of leaders, are you not?
Absolutely. And you know, what I learned the hard way, right, is I'm able to talk about this because from all the mistakes I made. So in the military, it was that top-down leadership, do what I say. And even though I was working for some amazing leaders, if I was ordered to do something, it doesn't mean I had to do it very well, as long
but
as I got
right.
it taken care of. And, you know, in corporate America, that doesn't really work that well. You know, I had to really learn how to grow as a leader so people are doing things that you ask them to do because they want to, not because you tell them to do that. And it was a big transition, of course. And along the way, right, I had burned out because I was putting the most pressure on myself. And I looked at, you know, why am I burning out? You know, what's going on here? Something I love to do, whether that was my starting my own businesses or my time in corporate America. And what can I do to avoid that?
And burnout tends to happen with those that are the highest performers, does it not?
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing I can offer, right, is most of the high performers, myself included, and probably yourself, right, weren't good at delegating. Mm-hmm. And I know my time in corporate America, what got me to a certain level, what got me here won't get me there. Mm-hmm. And in other words, I think for high potentials, successful people, learning to delegate and let go instead of having one Michael Veltri, one burned out Michael Veltri, how can I be a leader and train, grow, and develop a team of 10, 20, 200, 3,000 empowered Michael Veltris that can do just as a phenomenal job. And I think that's what ultimately leads to the burnout is we put so much pressure on ourselves to do everything at work, at home, in our community, that you finally reach that breaking point because you don't know how to delegate because you've been really good because we know that person's not going to do it as good as we can. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to let go and have them screw it up.
Sure. And is there a demographic beyond the high performer that is kind of sets themselves up for that a little bit more than another?
Sure, absolutely. So anyone in management, right? You know, so I talk to a lot of sales teams, anyone with quotas or goals to meet, push themselves, and they end up either becoming what I call successfully miserable. Right. Even if they're making a lot of money, they hate their life, they hate their job, and they've become successfully miserable. I call it the success trap. How can we get out of that success trap or not be successfully miserable?
successfully miserable. I feel like that's hashtag the story of my life. You know what I mean? That's so true, though, because you work so hard all the time for these goals that we set, and then you're accomplishing them, or you're getting there, and you're going, oh, what am I doing with my life? These moments of kind of feeling that burn. And what are, so you mentioned this being the trap, and are there some additional traps that are out there that leaders can be aware of?
Yeah. You know, when I talk to audiences, I introduce five traps and five solutions. I know we don't have time to get into everything today, but one that is really prevalent in our society is, I call it the clogged arteries trap, Brandy. Mm-hmm. And we have all become that proverbial frog boiling in that bubbling cauldron of electronic distractions, right?
You have notifications,
average,
by the way.
You want to take a guess at how many times professionals like us, not kids, but how many times professionals like us look at their smartphone?
My phone will tell me it's hours and hours a day for sure.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's got the new app. Yeah, on average, professionals will look at it about 200 distracting times per day.
Oh,
on average, some heavy users will look at it 1,000 distracting times per day. And you know, I know, like probably a lot of your audience members, I used to use my smartphone as an alarm clock each morning, and every time I did, I'd start looking at all my text messages, calendar items, to-do lists. My heart rate would spike, and I would immediately jump into reactive action, worrying about everything without being present. So, you know, one of the solutions I offer is simply called the double five count. And the double five count, Brandy, helps us to start winning that losing battle against distractions, especially with our technology. So we can start using our technology and not having our technology use us, right? That's a real important thing. So the double five count looks like this. It takes literally like 20 seconds to do, and I did it before us going live. You're simply going to take five deep belly breaths, right? Like if we simply pause and take five deep belly breaths, we're starting to push out that distracting beeps and buzzes and smart technology that we have, and the double five count. So we're going to do it twice. But when, most importantly, when we do it a second time, we're going to do a visualization exercise. So it's called the power of visualization. And I ask people to visualize their third place. And what I mean by the third place is, where do we spend most of our time after the first two places? At work and at home are our first two places. The third place is where we go to learn a new skill, to not be the boss, to de-stress, to have fun, to relax. And for some of us, it might be yoga or Pilates or volunteering or just sitting at a coffee shop. Well, we can't all just stop in the middle of the day and go work out, but we can take 10 seconds to take five deep breaths and visualize our third place. And by visualizing a powerful third place, like I grew up in Pennsylvania, so I love to visualize the beautiful fall foliage, the oranges, the reds, the yellows, that when the leaves change, to smell the leaves changing, to hear the leaves crinkling. And so I take another five deep breaths, really bringing myself present to that third place. And it helps to quiet that squirrel that runs around in our mind. And you, what you're doing is you're priming your decision-making pump. You're arming yourself for decision-making battle, and you're not letting your technology use you. So the double five count, it takes 20 seconds to do. I recommend people do it before any big meeting. I recommend they do it before they start work each morning. And I also recommend they do it after lunch when they're sleepy, taking five deep breaths. Increases circulation, blood flow, and it allows you to just basically start off on a clean slate.
That's great. And just really centralized. When you first said the third place, I immediately went, well, the airport. So if it's not home, it's not on the, you know, work, then it's at the airport. But no, I don't need to be visualizing the airport. I love the idea, even of you saying the fall foliage or, you know, some sort of extracurricular activity, some place where there, it does bring joy, or time with my kids, anything like that, to kind of being able to visualize where you, you know, where, what brings you peace in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, a lot of times I hear people talk about work-life balance.
Right.
And if you think about a balance, right, like our kids teeter-totter, if you put a little weight on one side, you lose that balance. So what I like to talk about to audiences is work-life integration. Okay, so I'd like to get away from that word work-life balance and think about work-life integration. So you're integrating things where you're, again, you're not becoming successfully miserable. If you're trying to balance things, that balance, the stress of it leads to becoming successfully miserable. So, you know, having your listeners think about work-life integration versus work-life balance.
And the five count of breathing, does you inhale for 5 seconds, exhale for 5 seconds? I mean, how does it?
Simply, you're going to do the deep belly breath. So we're not just using our lungs, but we're using our belly, and we're going to inhale and exhale, and you're going to do that 5 times. Maybe on average, that takes a couple seconds per breath. So
sure.
I say to do the double 5 count, it takes like maybe 20 to 25 seconds to do it. And, you know, the results are really, really, they start to help move people in the right direction. Because what you were talking earlier, Brandy, about Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg mm-hmm. and wearing the same clothes, researchers at Cornell University have discovered that kids, now our darling sons and daughters, make a whopping 3,000 semi-conscious to conscious decisions a day. So if kids make 3,000 decisions a day, how many decisions a day do you think busy professionals like us make? And it's
right.
a shocking statistic. Researchers have found out that we make a whopping 35,000 semi-conscious to conscious decisions a day, Brandy. That's over, you know, 365 days a year. That's over 12 million decisions annually we're making. Like, there's got to be room for improvement. So,
yeah.
you know, even taking 20 seconds to clear your mind, to prime your decision-making pump, to get ready for the decision-making battle, you know, that we're all facing, right? We're all fighting for our careers, for our companies, and for our communities. So we've got to be able to win that losing battle, and especially when we're faced with 35,000 decisions a day.
No doubt. And so the common kind of just end or solution for burnout might
yeah.
be taking time off. But the hard part is
yeah.
so often people don't actually take the time off, whatever
right.
that looks like. And so I love the
right.
idea of a lack of distraction or just breathing throughout the day. And
yep.
how can all of that impact then your ability to fine tune those 35,000?
Yeah. So again, if we're, so the analogy I give about burnout is, it's a blind spot, right? We don't know what we don't know. So typically people reach that burnout when they're already there. Well, and it's just like, you know, you've already had the heart attack.
Right.
You know, you're having a heart attack now. Well, it's a little too late to run to the doctor. So the whole goal is not to have that happen. And, you know, double five count is a simple solution. The other thing that I did want to share with you and with your listeners is a great quote by Tony Robbins. I think we all know mm-hmm. Tony mm-hmm. Robbins, the big, tall personal development guru. One of his mentors is a man named Jim Rohn, who has passed away. Jim was one of Tony's early influences. And Jim has a great saying that says, we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with.
Hmm.
Okay, we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. Who are the five people that, you know, you or our listeners are spending the most time with, right? So we need to have what I call our Fab Five around us to support us, so we're not becoming successfully miserable, that we're not hitting that burnout stage. The Fab Five, especially if we're bosses, or if we're running our own companies or departments or divisions, or we're the ones in charge and we don't have somebody above us to tell us, no, you're making a bad decision, or that we could be honest and transparent with and say, hey, listen, I don't know what I'm doing in this situation. I don't know what to do with this person I've hired. So a Fab Five, like, we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. Be careful who you associate with,
no doubt.
Right? Like, I think
mm-hmm.
we all know those energy vampires that are
sure.
great people, but, you know, there's
Set
50
the
ways right underneath
mm-hmm.
my microphone, Brandy, for me to be unsuccessful and make bad decisions. If we look for them, we're going to find them. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, be careful who we put surround ourselves with. And the Fab Five can help you overcome a lot of these traps that lead to burnout.
Yeah. And if I'm picking up my phone 1,000 times a day, maybe my phone is one of those energy vampires, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's funny how that is. So what are some fallacies when it comes to burnout?
Yeah. So I think a lot of the fallacies are that it can happen to anyone and, you know, that it's going to happen no matter what within your career. Okay. We don't have to leave that burnout. The biggest fallacy, and I shared it a little earlier, was that work-life balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we think about balance, you know, it just takes a little drop to get it out of balance. So with the burnout, the biggest fallacy is that balance. I really would like people to try to think about work-life integration.
Yeah, I love that.
You know,
I think of it as like a pie. And so it's not balance at all. It's more like a pie. And it's just if you have more of your pie in one direction, then you're going to naturally have to balance the other, you know, ingredients and pieces of the pie, slices of the pie naturally with that. Because I honestly think that work-life balance is bullshit, because if something that's happening at home, it's going to impact work and vice versa. Because I only live one. I'm not a spy. I can't compartmentalize, you know, everything. And so I'm completely with you in that. And I also love that you were kind of mentioning a fallacy of the idea of that everybody has to have burnout in order to be a successful leader, that you will get to that point. That doesn't need to happen. If people are managing it correctly, then they don't need to get to that point to be on top.
Yeah. And again, you know, as successful individuals, as high achievers, you know, the biggest challenge is having others around us that can tell us, no, hey, give the reflection back, what I call a support structure sufficient, because what might be sufficient for you is insufficient for me. I might need, you know, X, Y, and Z, whereas another person that might need A, B, and C. And, you know, having that Fab Five on your team that you can go to is just so important, especially as successful people that might not be good about delegating or wanting to share with others that they don't know what to do. Because guess what? We all don't know what to do a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm. And having the important people, the Fab Five, is just as important as knowing the vampires too, and making sure that we're eliminating people that are impacted or that are in our sphere that are impacting some of this.
Yeah, and a good way to know that is, you know, when you stop taking that person's text messages, or, you know, when that phone rings from that person and, oh, you just get that reaction where you don't want to talk to them anymore, then it's, you know, and I still had a great friend I had to fire because that he was just a glass half empty dude. Mm-hmm. And as a cancer survivor, Brandy, like, even if my glass is 99% empty, I'm going to look at it as 1% full.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Good for you. Can you share a funny story?
Oh, yeah. So I lived in Japan for 10 years.
Wow.
And I had been there for about 5 years. So I was already fluent in Japanese. I knew the culture inside out. I'm healthy as a horse. Mm-hmm. And I got violently ill in Japan, where I lost a lot of weight. I had to go to a Japanese hospital for the very first time. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do my vitals. And again, I'm fluent in Japanese, very polite society, wonderful. And the very polite Japanese nurse is there. I'm this big, tall foreigner that was probably a little scary for them. And they give me the thermometer, of course, which I promptly stick under my tongue to take my temperature. And the lovely Japanese nurse cringed.
Oh.
In the ever so polite Japanese society, they would never tell me, you know, I was such a barbarian, but she gently removed the thermometer from my mouth and put it where it was supposed to be, which is not where you're thinking, maybe. But
oh, I was going to say, if it's been in somebody else's bum, I don't know if I want to hear the rest of the story.
It was supposed to go under my armpit.
Okay.
So, you know, I got to think about all of the, I don't know, tens of thousands of Japanese armpits that were in my mouth.
Yeah, but that was what nice.
The reason why I decided to share this one is, you know, as we're all going to be in positions, whether it's with our family, friends, or our profession, where we think we know everything. Yeah. And you know what? We might make that huge, hilarious mistake. So be humble, have fun, and, you know, be careful about putting armpit thermometer.
Before you put the thermometer. That's good advice. Can you share a bold action item or takeaway for the listeners?
Yes. Third place. Okay. If you do not have a sufficient enough third place, for example, if you're going to the gym and you hate your gym, or you've been doing yoga, create a third place that is going to be a stretch for you. If you don't like to dance, go take a dance class. If you don't know how to swim, go swim. Create an empowering third place that is going to help with your work-life integration, that is going to help you grow and stretch as a productive human being. Third place, third place, third place.
Love it. If people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
The very tough to remember michaelveltri.com. You can go to my website and get a whole bunch of free resources on decision-making that leads to better leadership skills, sign up for my blog, or just reach out to me, say, hey, especially, you know, we all know someone that's been affected by cancer, any cancer survivors, patients, or anyone out there that wants to say hi, I'd love to hear from you and support you any way I can.
Thank you so much. And we'll get your information out on the strategichotbox.com as well. Thank you, Michael. It's wonderful to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's head out to our shout out.
Hi, this is Robert from Ireland, and you're listening to Brandy on the Strategic Hotbox.
Welcome back. Thank you, Robert from Ireland, for being a part of the show today. Thank you for giving us that hot box with your amazing accent. And thank you again to Michael for being here and Skyping in with us. It's that time. It's my favorite time. It's your favorite time. It's time for us to kick some ass. Number one is to know your engagement limit. Michael talked about the fact that to limiting distractions, to know what's happening around us, but really know your limit. I say this, you know, when it comes from booze all the way to work, know that moment when you're taking things too far. And if it's a conscious choice to take it that next step, cool. Recognize that you're probably going to be hungover tomorrow. Right? And that's maybe metaphorical, or maybe it's realistic in regards to booze, you know, specifically, but know what your limit is, know what your engagement limit is, and start paying attention to those moments when you are getting burnout and what happened in the process of that. Number two is to create a support community. Have that Fab Five, as Michael shared with us, the people around us that have the positive influence on us. Recognize who isn't part of that community and who may be taking too much energy from your life or absorbing some of the positive love and support that you have to give to other people. Number three, recognize your traps. So it could be the traps of working too hard, or the goals, or the go, 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 as Michael has described to us. Know what it is where you stumble, your triggers, your traps. And that's kind of goes hand in hand with knowing your limits and knowing what gets you to a place where what feels sexy enough to draw you into a place where you don't need to be. Number four is balance and integrate. So maybe not balance anymore, more of an integration of your work and life and how we can begin to create a whole self using some of the techniques that Michael has shared. And number five, burn bright. Don't burn out. You don't have to burn out. That isn't something that everybody has to feel. If you want to be there, remember the why. Remember your purpose. Remember why you began doing what you're doing to begin with. Refresh in that and give yourself a chance to relax. And that will include limiting all of the other distractions and things that are pulling you away. There's your top five. Kick ass. Thank you again to Michael for being here and being on the show. And thank you to all of you that have been part of the Hot Box all along the way. Burnout is something that all of us are facing and could be feeling. And maybe your employees are feeling the same way. So you can encourage them to do a lot of the suggestions that we had on the show today. Out on the hotbox.com, the strategichotbox.com, we have something called the Leadership Detox. And it's a free worksheet kind of form resource for you to download. And you can take a look at it and begin asking yourself some of these questions when it comes to burnout, when it comes to leadership. What's happening? How can I pull and change and switch things up and reprioritize? And we call it a detox because sometimes we just need an intervention when it comes to burnout, when it comes to leadership. How can you come in and, you know, just shake it all up and leave a better person? Go check out that free resource for you if this is something that is impacting you. And of course, we'll have Michael's information out there as well. And if you have anything that you want us to tackle here on the Strategic Hot Box or talk about more specifically, reach out to us, podcast@strategichotbox.com by email, or we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and I know several of you are watching us along the way in those places as well, @BrandyLove, BrandiLuv, or @Strategic Hotbox. And as always, I want you to get out there and relax a little, enjoy life, don't get too burnout, but most importantly, keep kicking ass.